So today is our final installment of the 8-part series on metaphysics with Eileen Noman. So be sure to listen back to episodes 252, 256, 265, 267, 268, 269, 271, and then today is 272, where we're going to be learning all about how to charge water. So if you haven't been following along, then be sure to listen back as these episodes do build on each other. Eileen is a worldwide lecturer and pioneer on a broad range of topics, including homeopathy, medical astrology, metaphysics, and shamanism. And you can find the book she's written on all of these topics by visiting Amazon.com and searching for Eileen Noman. She is also a New York Times bestselling author under the pen name Lindsay McKenna, having written more than 225 novels, translated into 33 languages, and selling over 23 million copies worldwide. You can learn more about Eileen at www.walkingtheland.net. And while you're there, be sure to subscribe to Eileen's newsletter, where she'll be sharing loads of great information in the coming months. Eileen is on a mission to help raise our collective consciousness by teaching all of us some of the healing tools she's learned over many decades. She is doing this free of charge through her YouTube channel, which she is just starting up. So be sure to subscribe at youtube.com/@EileenNoman2329. Eileen has also agreed to make many of her amazing resources available free of charge through my website while she's getting her own site and YouTube channel set up. So you can check out eugeniekruger.com/Eileen to download many of the resources she has gifted. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share it with your family and friends. We're in a time right now, more than ever, where deep healing is needed. And part of that healing includes learning more about our energy body. So I am very grateful to Eileen for taking so much of her time to share her wisdom with us all. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hi, homies. We have got the lovely Elaine back here. She needs no introduction by now because you have all spent, what's that, Eileen? Maybe 7-8 hours together now. So I think we're all like besties. Hey, all of us and our thousands of listeners around the world.
It's nice to be back again. I'll try and make this one shorter tonight.
Please don't. We love your information. All right. Amazing. All
right. This is going to be lesson 5. I think I told everybody that there'd be 5 lessons coming on the energetics of Energy 101. And the last 4, we've covered the basic template of what energy is that you can't see, but it's still working for you. And now everybody's got the same template. So what I wanted to do tonight with lesson 5 was to start getting people to use it. And I think the best way to use it is to work with water, because everybody drinks water. And so anyway, this first graphic that I have here, I said, is to illustrate how to charge water. And I said this Energy 101 technique was to show my gym and crystal teacher, Oshana Fastwolf, who I trained with in the 1980s. I not only studied gems with her, but I also studied crystal healing, which is also a part of pendulums. And I'll get to that. If we have time, I'll say something about that. If not, another time. Anyway, she was the one that created charging water. That was what she called it. And she gave me permission. She's now passed over. She gave me permission to share what she had taught others. And that's exactly what I'm going to do tonight. And this is Native American. So you can bet that it's whatever she's got, whatever she's learned, they've been using for hundreds, if not thousands of years. In other words, it's tried and true. And I said, as a child, I was taught by my 2 metaphysical parents who were clairvoyant. And basically, I just wanted to go through that a little bit because that was one half of my side. And just to give you a reminder on that side, and Oshana, I have a lot of information to share with that, with you on that. Anyway, water hears us speak. What are we doing here? Hey, hello. I love Mercury square Uranus. Nothing's going to stand still tonight.
I've already had my turn this morning, so now it's your turn.
True. Anyway, water hears us speak and knows our thoughts. And water is completely telepathic. And I know that I said this to the people who are wanting to know about Energy 101, our invisible template that's all around us, our aura, our chakras, that when you speak to anything that's out there, that's one of our relatives, You just, it's a thought, but it's a thought with an emotion. And so they do not speak English. They don't speak any of our languages. But when you get when you ask them something, you get this telepathic template being brought into you. And you're not only hearing them not speaking, but it's all internalized and you know exactly what they're talking about or what they want you to know about. But there's also an emotion with it. And that's what's different from just speaking. Unless I know we can speak out loud and if we raise our voice, that's showing emotion too. But telepathy is different. So don't get scared if you start to talk to a tree and you get this imprint, literally an imprint into you. There's nothing wrong. Everything's right. So anyway, going back to the water and to the telepathy, I was taught early on to honor the spirit of the water because we believe, and I know for sure because I'm clairvoyant, I could see the spirit of the water, whatever waterway it is, if it's a pond, if it's a lake, it's Mother Ocean, if it's a little trickle, a little stream, they all have a spirit there who takes care of it, who's in charge of it. And that's who you talk to if you want to know something. Anyway, I was 3 years old when my mother started taking me to the tide pools near La Jolla, California. And that's in Southern California. And it's about 50 miles north of San Diego where I was born. And I just love looking at these tide pools because I saw everything in them from little octopus to little starfish and so on and so forth. And I just loved doing that. And again, it's water, and water absorbs our emotions. It feels our aura. It knows so much about us that we don't know about it very quickly. So that's what I want to connect with there. And I said, humans make the mistake that if something doesn't look like us, be it an animal, a honeybee, a lizard, a rock, a tree, a flower, that they aren't quote unquote like us. And I said, patriarchal males consider most things inanimate objects on this earth, except for another male human being who's probably white. And I said, indigenous people around the world see it exactly opposite of this type of man. And I said, everything is alive and everything can communicate with us. And I said, sometimes it is understanding the language that is different, but it's not impossible for us to bridge that between us. And I said, it can be a body movement, a behavior, an action, a tone, voice, gesture, or a reaction. And water picks it all up, but so does everything else around us. But tonight we're going to stay on water. And I said, higher consciousness beings can certainly speak to us, usually telepathically, if we're open to receiving their mental/emotional impressions on it. And so we've talked a little about telepathy, so I'm going to skip through this. And there's several ways we can connect with water. And one of them, I brought in my little La Jolla experience with all the tidal pools. I used to go out in the sand. I was 3, 4, 5, and 6 when I was there. And I would sometimes with my fingers, I'd create a heart because I'd see somebody else do it. I'd go over and look at it and go, okay, I can do that. So I'd go and do my heart with my little finger. And the thing is that what I want to share with you tonight is that when you do something like that, emotion also goes into that symbol. And that symbol is a cosmic, because it's our best one. But all symbols are deeply encoded with their vibrational energy, and it can help us and help our Mother Earth when we do things like this. And more over the years, I used to go back to California, back to La Jolla quite often. I'd be walking down the beach and every year I would see more and more people, they'd have a little stick in their hands or something like that. More people were putting more symbols into the sand where Mother Ocean could wash up and then take it with her. And I thought that was a really good sign. If we do that all the time, that would be great. Anyway, I think I've basically said all of this, so we'll just skip this. You can look at a nice picture. Okay, I want to talk about Masaru Emoto back in, I think it was early 2000s, he did research tests on water. And what he did is he used little Petri dishes. And he then would put some water in it, and then he would speak something loving into the water and an image. And then he would put it into his freezer. And when it came out, maybe an hour or two later, there would be an image that would show whatever he said. And if he said something angry, there would be a different picture in the ice than what it is when you tell that you love it and that you're grateful that it's there. And please help me. I've got a headache. Can you please take it away? Thank you. And then drink some water, because the water has already taken in your energy and your emotion and your sincerity. You can't do this and play around with it. You've got to be sincere. Anybody who just flippantly goes, oh yeah, I can do that, so help me lose 20 pounds. That's not how it works. You have to have a connection with the living spirit of the water, like you would with a tree or a rock or whatever. And I don't know if many of you know about Veda Austin. If you don't, you should. I've got her website URL here for you.
And she's been on the podcast as well.
Yeah.
We've had her on as a guest. Yeah.
Oh, have you? Okay. Then you know all about her. And I've been following her stuff along with Dr. Emoto's information. And it's just wonderful what they're doing. Everybody can do this. There's nobody that can't do this. As long as you're sincere in what you do, and you keep your intent, again, this is energy, you keep your intent focused on what you're doing and why you're doing it, and it will, and the water will react immediately to you. And so it's, I haven't gone and done the petri dishes yet. I haven't really had time, because I've been working with water spirits all my life. I know another side to them other than the petri dish. And these are some graphics that I took off from depositphotos.com. And these have not been spoken to, okay? These are simply ice pictures out on the ice. If you go ice fishing or you do ice skating, or if you notice along the edges where there's ice, you'll see some really interesting things. And the one I really like here is the center one. It looks like a heart to me. I don't know what it looks like to you. What do you think, Eugenia?
Yeah, actually, now that you've pointed it out, you can even see where the aorta is coming out almost.
That's right. Yeah, no, there's two of them there.
Yeah.
Two of them there. There's two big ones that come out. There's aorta, yeah. and there's another one. And it's perfect. But this is just water talking, and probably people aren't around or anything like that. But I love just looking at water that is ice, because I always see pictures and graphs long before Dr. Emoto or Veda started doing their petri dish tests. So here's the first, I'm going to go through several ways to talk to water. And the first one tonight is charging water that was discovered by Oceana Fastwolf. And then I'm going to talk about Dr. Emoto and his hidden messages in water. And we're going to get started with the charging of the water first. And I had my niece, my husband's niece, she's a graphic artist, so she's got some very nice illustrations here. I couldn't find any, and so I called her and said, help, I need somebody to do something so everybody can understand this. Anyway, the first thing you want to do is find a 4 or an 8 ounce clear glass. And OSHA never wanted you to use a glass that was colored. No colored glass at all, because the color will resonate with the energy of the water. And you don't want that, unless you do want that. But in this case, if we're going to charge water, it has to be a clear glass. But that's why. Okay. And you can take your favorite gemstone, either rough or tumbled. Tumbled is a smooth surface. Rough is mine rough. It's natural. It comes right out of a mine. There's nothing been done to it. It usually has sharp corners and stuff like that. And over here on the left is some emerald mine run. I know this isn't the emerald that you think of, which I've got a graphic of some nice oval pear-shaped faceted emeralds that are very clear, and you can see the difference. But here's what you need to know. Always buy mine run. If you want to work with, say, sapphires or rubies or emeralds or whatever, or tourmaline especially, any tourmaline other than black tourmaline is very expensive. You don't need to do that. All you need to do is, I don't know, do you have rock shops in Australia, Eugenie?
Yeah, they're all over the place. And we've got lots of rocks here and mines, and there's lots of places that you can collect them as well. Lots of people go fossicking around here.
Good. Okay. as long as you can get some mind run. And again, here's your emerald mind run. It doesn't look anything like the faceted, clear type of emerald. It doesn't need to, because you both have the same energy. It doesn't matter whether they're opaque, like mind run, or they are clear and transparent, like these emeralds are in this image. It does not matter. It doesn't make one better or more powerful than the other. So save your money. And also, what you're going to do then is, I usually put the mind run stone down in my 4-ounce glass, and I put it there with my fingers. And then I fill the glass with about 3 ounces of tepid room temperature water. And that's good enough. Don't do really ice, do hot water. That's not a good thing. So tepid means room temperature. Okay, so here's a nice illustration. I've got the stone in the glass. I have the water in the glass. And so what Oshino taught us to do was, I know I've told everybody that you have a small chakra in each hand here. And what she wanted us to do, and I'll just run through it verbally first, and then I'll show you. We are electromagnetic substations. Our aura, our chakra, the unseen, it's there. But now I'm going to start showing you how to use it and transfer it into our physical 3D world. And so when you get everything ready, you don't have kids and dogs and cats or people screaming at each other. You don't have a lot of music on. You're in a quiet place and you're centered. And please, before you start this, ground yourself. And I've given Eugenie a handout. It's called the Silver Tree Roots Grounding Technique. And it's the second one. The first one I gave you was just to get your astral body back into your physical so that you could start manifesting your dreams and start feeling better. And you need that without a question. So once that's done, and usually it takes 30 days, but after that, usually the astral body will stay in. Any other time that you want to do any kind of grounding, and this is a case where you want to ground yourself, it's the silver tree roots. And it's a very short thing compared to the one that I gave you as a handout before. And all you have to do is simply, you can sit down to do this, or you can stand up. It doesn't matter. And you want to, if you're going to stand up, you want to do what we call soften your knees. And that means basically you're not locking your knee joints. If you lock your knee joints, you're not got soft knees. And what happens is if you lock your knees when you're standing up and trying to do this second technique of grounding, the Mother Earth's energy is going to start coming up, but it's going to stop right down below where the joints are locked. It can't go any further. Don't do that. It won't work. And so I have the handout. We're just going to pass on through on that one. Eugenie is going to put it up and you'll have everything you need. But it's really important. Don't lock your knees. Soft means unlocking them. It doesn't mean you have to sit in a squatted or stand in a squatted position or anything like that. But it's just letting the joints rest and relax, but don't snap them together like we usually do. So the next thing you want to do is you want to put these two chakras here together like this. And you see my hands are apart like that. You can put them together like this too. But I want that contact between these two palms where these two little substations are at. And you start rubbing them like this, right? And you rub it really hard. You put some pressure on both. And pretty soon you're going to feel like your palms are going to burn, okay? Then what you do is you open them up like this and see how my hands are together. You're going to then cup them like this and you're going to put it over the top of the glass and about 3 to 6 inches above it, okay? And then what you're going to do is you're going to make 4 circles and they are clockwise around that glass of water. And what the 4 are is the north, south, east, and west, because Native Americans honor and are asking the different spirits of these different directions to come in and bless this water and what we're doing. And once you've done that, you can break your hands apart before they're like this. Pull them apart and then go like this and flick off all the energy that is. If you saw it clairvoyantly, it would look like we had two white little fuzzy gloves all over our hands. It would look like fat mittens or like rabbit fur on both hands. And you want to off. So I've just told you that you've got the handout for the silver tree roots. So we're not going over that. You can see the hands are together here. And my niece did a really nice job on this. And it's always a clockwise direction. Do not do it counterclockwise. I'm not going to get into why tonight. So here I said, once you've completed the fourth circle above the glass, I said, pull your hands apart like I just showed you. Shake them. Get the excess energy off. And then with a spoon, all right, the center image here, lift out the stone in the water, okay, and gently set it aside, okay, on the table or the counter. And our dog, Gracie, she would be watching that. And if that stone fell on the floor, she would be after it, probably trying to eat it. So just put it someplace safe where it is in case you got a dog like we do. Anyway. With the same spoon, you can now take a spoonful of this. You now have emerald-charged water. You can take a spoonful and place it in your mouth, and you are now drinking what she would call charged emerald water. And so we get into dosage to a lot of other things, which I'm probably going to bypass for the most part tonight. But you can take a teaspoon. It's like a homeopathic remedy at that point. Although it's not potentized, a 3X or a 6X or 12C or whatever you want, you're not doing that. You're simply using the energy that came out of your palms and it struck the stone and the stone reacted and released its energy into the water. And of course, water is living and water goes, oh, good, there's somebody here. And, you know, and water takes on the entire characteristics and personality of whatever you put in that glass. The thing is that if, for instance, I've had people who have a lot of headaches and stuff like that. And when I was working with charging water back in the 1980s, when somebody had a headache, I would just say, find some emerald mine run. And the next time you go to your local, I don't know, rock shop, whatever you want to tell, say what they are, and buy some. And you don't have to buy a lot. You just need a couple of stones. That's it. And then just take the water by the spoonful every 5 minutes and, you know, within 15 minutes, you should definitely notice a difference in the symptom picture. And then just keep on going for about another 15 minutes. And by that time, almost everybody's headache or their pain or whatever is gone. If it's the right gemstone. I've written a book called Colored Stones, and you have to know your stones just like you have to know your homeopathic remedies. You just don't go, oh, you take this. And one of the big things that Oshana really hammered into us was is that and emerald, by the way, is what we call a master stone. And a master stone is a stone that has a lot of different skill sets in it that affect many, at least three or four, maybe five different systems of the human body. And so that means that stone's energy and what it's useful for has a wide array of application. Rather than it can only do one thing. So it is a master. It's something that I love. I was born in May, so May is emerald month anyway. I'm biased. But I use that when I'm not feeling really good. I'll just sip emerald water all day long. Maybe a glass, maybe 4 or 8 ounces. I'm not sitting there glugging it, okay? You don't need a whole lot because the energy is in that spoonful of water. And as long as you've done the charging water correctly, it's going to work. And if it doesn't, then you need to go back and try it again and say, am I grounded? Am I focused or am I distracted? Am I emotionally in a quiet place or am I really upset about something? And I'm trying not to think about it while I'm doing my charging water. If you're doing that, it ain't going to work. Your emotions are going to go in there with it. And you don't really want that. So it's just use some common sense here on this, and it'll work really good for you. Emerald for Oshana was one of the greatest helpers for people who had cancer. And she discovered charging water in the 1970s, and I didn't really get to work with her until the 1980s, off and on for 3 years. And she's had some phenomenal healings in cancer and fighting the cancer back or reducing the amount of the tumor or just from doing emerald charged water and just a teaspoon of it once an hour while you're awake during the day. You don't need to sit there and deluge yourself with drinking too much water. There is such a thing, just as much as there is people who don't drink enough, thirstless, our good old homeopathic symptom. But she, one of the things that she told us, and she really drilled this into our heads, was that we never wanted to use a red stone in charging water and giving it to anyone who had cell multiplication problems because it increased the cellular amount and it basically can create a situation where the cancer is growing faster and moving around the body sooner on a red charged stone. And the one that she really pinpointed was you don't use ruby.
That's interesting.
Yeah. If you stop and look at it, and again, gemstone health issues and stuff from where she came from is a whole nother series of workshops because it's really intense and it really gets down to the nitty gritty. And you also need a book called Colored Stones and Healing, or no, I'm sorry. It's, I can't think of it. It's the Anatomy Coloring Book is the name of it.
Oh, okay.
Anatomy Coloring Book. And it was published here in the United States, but it's a worldwide favorite. And if you get into working with healing and energy with water or not, if you go the quartz crystal route, it's the same thing. If somebody has cancer, you don't use a red stone on them. And I don't use an orange stone either because it's quickening the energy because of the color that it is. And so the thing also is that emerald is green and our heart chakra is green. Now, it can also be pink, which means you're pulling in the white of the crown with the red of the root chakra, okay? And the heart is the center of our body, literally. And so those two colors, when you mix them, it's pink. But technically, the chakra is green. And so anytime you would take emerald charged water, it's really great because it's helping your heart. And the heart should be our primary station in our human body. And it is anyway. When you have a heart attack, you find that out real quick. But it's the emotions that get us. It's not the mental. It's not the spiritual. It is the emotions that nail us all the time. And so if you're having a really hard day, for instance, you could charge some emerald water and just sip it until you come down off that emotional cliff. It calms you. It calms animals. I've had some of my plants got really sick or they got partly eaten by a possum or something, or a raccoon really liked it. And they're sitting there bedraggled. I would charge some emerald water and I would take it out and I would pour it around the plants and they would come back. I never lost them. So you can use emerald water on just about anything because it's about growth. It's about life. It is our heart chakra and it's about love. So it's like, you can't lose in this, but do not, if somebody has anything as a multiplication of cells, do not give them ruby. Do not give them, I wouldn't give them an orange stone either. So you stay strictly with emerald. Emerald has such a good track record with people who have some kind of cancer. So it would be something that I'd say, why don't you go look at it? It can't hurt you. All it can do is maybe help you. And if it does, that's huge. Every 24 hours, you would recharge your water. You would do it every morning when she got up. And she also found out she had a bachelor's degree when she was much younger. And she used to go into this was pre-computers, but people who were using mechanical devices of some sort or another, and they were doing scientific research, she took her stuff in there and she would charge water and they would put something down into the water and then they could look at the oscilloscope or whatever they had there. And that would tell them they would the probe into the water before they did the charging of the water. And it would have a reading that they could actually register and she'd write it down. And then she would charge the water and then put the probe back in after she took the stone out and it would have a much higher reading. And so she did a lot of she wasn't there to be a scientist, but she wanted to prove that this worked because she knew it did. And there at Berkeley, they had all kinds of the best equipment that they could have back in the 60s that was available. And she was able to prove that the energy of the water was definitely different before and after the charging of the water. So give it a try and see what you have to say to me about it. I'd love to hear more. Also, in my YouTube, I have one of my playlists is called Gem Mystique. And because I have a degree in geology, or not geology, but gemology from GIA, which is world famous. They're the best of the best. I have a degree in colored stones, so I can work with anything as long as it's not diamonds or pearls. And I don't particularly care about diamonds at all, but never mind that. But if you go over to Gem Mystique, the first one that I've done over there is emerald. There's a lot of information on it, and you can check it out. And I'm trying to do one once a month. I have the one on black tourmaline written, but I just haven't had time to get it up yet. And that's next on my list. Let's see. Let's move on. Whoop.
Can I ask a quick question now, Aileen? I know once you're in this flow, I don't really like to break your flow, but just you were saying about the teaspoon. I'm guessing the reason you don't just sip from the glass is so you don't then get your own saliva back in the glass or things like that. And do you cover it with a plate in between? Like I often know if I get clients to take water remedies, I'll get them to just put a little plate or something. Or I often just get them to use a jar because in that case you would succuss it. It's easier to succuss. And then you'd have your little sip with a teaspoon and then you would just put the jar lid on afterwards, which is a little bit easier than putting a plate on there.
Oh, Chanel would laugh you out of her.
Oh, really?
Her She'd turn and say, you're a Virgo. No, seriously, just like this. I've got emerald charged water in this, even though it's orange. It has an orange taste to it. I still have the emerald in it. And it's whatever you want. Whatever works for you, that's fine. You don't need to really cover it up or anything like that. And I have this glass on my desk all day long, and I'm always drinking water. And every time I do it, I ask it to do something or to tell it that I love it and that I am grateful it's here and helping me. So I drink it all day long, but I don't drink gallons of it. I think if you get 6-8 ounce glasses in your day, you're doing pretty good because most Americans don't even get that. They're into their Cokes and all the other energy drinks and stuff like that. Up to them. Anyway, let's see. Okay. This is a true story. We're going to get into paper remedies now. And I backed into this one. I didn't even know they existed. But I had the Athena list back in the 1990s, and it was a list of about 120 people from around the world who wanted to learn basic homeopathy. And so I said, hey, I'll teach it, give you something new every week. And one of the people who was on there, his name was Gail, and he was over in Italy, and he was a farmer, and he lived out in a rural area. And his daughter one day got a spike fever, and kids are famous for spike fevers. They can go up to 104, 105, and it just really shakes you because it's like it's coming out of nowhere. They're not necessarily feeling bad, but they're saying that I don't feel good, mommy, or I'm tired or something like that. And you take your temperature and then you're going off. You're ballistic about that point. I'm holding you by email and he was frantic. His six-year-old daughter had a 105 temperature or 106. I can't remember which, but it was really high for her age. And he, first of all, I tried to get my people who were on Athena to always have a small homeopathic kit, a home kit. And probably about half of them, either they couldn't get it because it was the country they were in, and they didn't have the money to go out and buy one from Australia or the United States or maybe somewhere in Europe. And he didn't have one. And I was frantic because I knew that aconitum napellus, aconite's world famous for spike fevers on anybody, but especially children. And so I just, my people just said, write it on a piece of paper and put it under beneath the glass. I'm going, what? So anyway, they said, let it sit there for 5 minutes and then get a teaspoon out of it and give it to the child and give it every 5 minutes for three times, which is 15 minutes. So that's what we did. And I had told him to write down aconitum napellus, and he knew that. I'd been teaching them for almost a year then, and he knew what the names of them were and how to spell them. And so he wrote it and got a glass of water and set it on there, and we timed it out at 5 minutes. I said, okay, give her a teaspoon. And so he did. And by that time, it was, I think it was down to about 102 or 103. I think it was 102 in 15 minutes. I'm going, God, this works. Talk about pulling a rabbit out of a hat. I was just amazed. And so I told Gail, I said, give it to her three times every 5 minutes. And by that time, it was down to 98.6. I got 98.7 there, but it's supposed to be 98.6. She was normal and she stayed normal. See, it didn't, I have no idea what caused it. He didn't either. He was looking for bites or stings, or I was worried about an anaphylactic reaction, which can kill you. And she didn't have any of the other symptoms to go that route, but that worked. And that is how I backed into this. And I didn't know for years. We kept it really hush because it was like, oh my God, what have we got here? I wasn't sure at all. But the thing was, is that I worked with Oceana in the 1980s, and I was working with energy with my hands and with a stone in the glass. And I thought, if that can happen, why can't this happen? Because, and I knew from working in the 1980s with her on charging water, that water was different than what people believed that it was. And Oceana knew everything about water. The fact that it would resorb or absorb whatever you put in there. And so she really was a leader in that. And of course, she's not going to go down in history as one of these people who was very famous in doing this, but she was the head of the pack and Native American. And Native Americans know a lot about energy healing. They've got thousands upon thousands of years. So anyway, we had a horse who was really jumpy and anxious. And I wrote aconitum napellus and I taped it on her bridle and I went and rode her. And it was always like, you're going to fall off. You're going to get knocked off. You're going to get thrown off, because she was just jumpy and wouldn't settle down. But as soon as I went out into the pasture with her and she was quiet, she just plodded along. It's like, geez, this stuff really works. Then I tried it on our dog that we had at the time, who had, he got hit by a car and gave, I wrote the Arnica Montana on it with a 10M and I just put it on his fur. And then I was running to go find my high dose remedies to find it. But I just left him. And when I came back, he was sitting up looking fine, going, God, this stuff really works. And it does. It does.
Eileen, I have a quick question for you. Sorry to interrupt you again, but something that I'm getting a lot of questions on at the moment, we're about week three into the new school term here in the Southern Hemisphere. And I'm getting so many emails from mums saying that their kiddies are having a really hard time adjusting to the new year at school and the new teacher. But I'm just wondering if the parents could just charge the children's water bottles before they go to school in the morning and maybe even. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. There's not anything that you can't do with it.
What's a message you would use for that? Just something like, you're safe, or it's the ones where the teachers have to peel the kids off the parents in the morning. Or is there a particular crystal that you would charge that water with?
Yeah, I was just thinking about different remedies for that. Being clingy, probably pulsatilla would be a really good one. And if it's severe, I would be looking at the milk remedies. Oh, yeah. They don't want to leave mommy and they don't feel safe without mommy being there. And I have found the milk remedies many times with children who are like that. Give them a low dose. 30C is fine if you got it. If not, do a 12X or something like that. And it settles them right down. But Pulsatilla, I think, especially for children, it's got such a wide array of things that it can do. And one of them is just to get them to focus in on where they're at instead of spreading and scattering everywhere and then being super emotional about it. So those are two that I used on children. But also, you could write, okay, you could write on a piece of paper, calmness, okay, or safety, calm and safe. And write it on a thing and then put it under your glass, let it sit there for 5 minutes, and then go ahead and give them a teaspoon, but put it also into the thermos. I think that's great. Feeling calm and safe, because not everybody knows homeopathy, but everybody knows when they see a child that's afraid to go someplace that they want to feel safe and you want them calm. So you just think about these things in a black and white way. Common sense, I guess, is a better word here. But that's a great question. Okay, so that's it for paper remedies. I'm running through these. Okay, so Masaru Emoto's book back in the early 2000s. I really liked it because I had all that training with Oshino over the years. And I also had paper remedies under my belt then. And I had never heard of anybody speaking into water like that. I hadn't done that. It never even crossed my mind. But it's basically, you can talk to the water. And the important things that you need to get out of this is that you want to, first of all, be focused. And you want to allow your heart to feel love toward the water. Because it's a living being. It's a spirit. It's an energy. Okay? It's just like us. We have energy too. You can't see it, but it's there. And same with the water. But the water wants to help you. And I read his book and I thought, wow, this is great. And so I started talking to my water in the morning. I would say good morning to it. I love you very much. I've got a bit of a headache. Could you please help me with it? And I'd be grateful. Thank you. And I would take the teaspoons and it would go away in about a half hour. That's it. Or somebody that, with my husband, David, he's got arthritis. And the way we keep it at bay isn't with a homeopathic remedy. It's basically asking the water to please loosen up his joints so that he doesn't feel any pain so that he can work. And he's got big knuckles from that. And he drinks that, and he has a thermos, Eugenie, just like children have a thermos. He's got his thermos. I just dump it in there, and he's drinking it all day long, and he can use his hands just as well as we can. But if he didn't, usually you think about Roustox or Rutagrav or something like that, but they didn't seem to work on him. So I thought, I'm just going to go straight to the water and ask for help. And what I have found over the years is the more genuine and the more sincere you are about your request, it will be granted. It will be granted. So give it a try. Don't sit here and say, oh no, this is impossible. Nothing's impossible. Nothing. Okay. So I would use these water techniques on my homeopathic clients, and I would give them a choice of how they want to do it. Some of them really like the idea of being really involved. So they really like charging water and being in there and doing that. And they love gemstones. So it was like a marriage made in heaven. There was others who really liked the idea speaking to the water. That really was useful. And again, it worked. It's not a homeopathic remedy per se, but it is your feeling and your gratitude and your wanting some help. And the water is very assistive when you ask for help. And it doesn't have to be for you. You can be asking for your dog or your cat or your child, whatever happens to be around. Let's see. Okay, let's go here. I want to go to this one. All right, so AP News had an article on the internet, and they were having an interesting scientific breakthrough on the bottled water that I think everybody drinks. All right, this is true. I went ahead and captured the URL on it. And Eugenia, if you could put that into the thing, I'd appreciate that, because everybody needs to read this. This is dangerous. This is going to affect all of our health. And I don't care whether you're human or an animal or plants, trees. What they found out was is that there's a huge medical debate going on. What will happen when there's a 250,000 invisible nanoplastic particles in a liter of bottled water? And they went and they tested this out the gazoo. And no matter whose bottled water they tested in different countries, it all had millions of invisible nanoplastic particles that you can't see. It's at quantum level. Okay, here we go again. It's energy, but it is an energy that is not good for our bodies. And they said they needed to do more toxicology studies on this, on what they just found. And they couldn't believe that this is good for anyone's body. Good. Yeah, no kidding. And so this thing, your bottle of water is not necessarily safe. So what I would say to you is, and I have double filtered water, but we're going to be sinking a well that's on our property here this spring because I want aquifer water, but I've got to also test that for everything too, including heavy metals, which you do not want to be drinking that one. So I don't know where we're going on that one, but we'll find out. But what I would be saying to the water, anything that you drink from here on out, especially bottled water, I would say, I love you very much. Will you please remove the nanoplastic that's in this water right now and don't let it hurt me? Thank you. That's what I would ask. And they can take care of it. Because why can they take care of it? Because water wants us alive. Water wants us healthy. It is pro-life. It's not death. And so they're going to do, it's going to do everything in its power to make this water clean enough for you. And until we can get more information on this, just popped up on January 9th, 2024. And it just raised red sirens all over me on it. I went, oh my God, I knew this was going to happen. And I did. I knew with the amount of plastic they're putting into the ocean, something had to give. And it has. And look where it's at.
It makes sense because there is so much endocrine disruption and gender dysphoria and all sorts of things that's disrupting our endocrine system. So it really makes sense. I was also just thinking, because I'm always so conscious of words, and the words, like they say, the subconscious doesn't understand the word don't. So if we say don't let it harm me, then it is harm me. So I was thinking, instead of just asking for remove the plastics, can we say something like remove anything harmful that's not in my best interest? Or actually even that right. In the negative, say yes. Saying yeah. Remove anything harmful so that this is for my
that's even better
higher interest.
Yeah, no, that's even better. Yeah. This was really
scary.
Bad.
It's very scary. I actually, on my Instagram stories yesterday, said, which health complaint are you struggling with right now that you would like some remedy suggestions for? And I had a couple of people there saying gender dysphoria, that their young children have issues with that. And I have my son's class, there's a child with that as well, and was started out the year as a boy and now it's already a girl. And there's loads of reasons. There's loads of other things. I hope I don't get too many hate emails after that. But I do think that we need to consider that at least a part of that potentially is the endocrine disrupting plastics that are in our environment that is causing these issues. So it's like the chicken and the egg. But really, and especially if you're seeing these articles now that's coming out, that we are ingesting all of these plastics and they are going to have an effect on our endocrine system.
And also think about this. When you buy a bottle of water, what is it in? That damn plastic. And the water has no way to not be in there because it's captive to the container that it's in. That's why I always use glass. Doesn't seem to a glass without any color to it. Okay. Ever since I started working with ocean on it, this is the only thing that I'll use. And if I do take out something to drink, I have a glass bottle and a top, and I put it in my knapsack, and that's the way it goes. Yeah, it can break and it can shatter, but I try and be careful. But I'd rather do that than buy plastic. So I'm really, when I read this, it just blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's, boy, here we go. And there's more disruption. This is my personal way of looking at things. Our hormones are the element, and I'm going to get into energy medicine here for just a second. The energy comes in, the prana, which is good for us, comes in the crown, and then it goes through to all of the front and back chakras. And if once it gets to the endocrine system, which is physical, it's 3D only, there's an actual transmutation that takes place between the prana and then turning it into an actual hormone. See, and this is our big problem, because you start messing with our hormones, and I have seen this time and again in people, hormones can make you do things or feel things or think you're this or that, and you really aren't. But the hormones are either too high or they're too low, or they're not working in tandem with the pituitary gland, your master gland up here, and your target glands down here. There could be a switch that's off or a switch that's on all the time, or that won't shut off. I seriously believe that the way we eat is going to tell you a whole lot about your health, and it starts with your endocrine gland. And I'm always looking at the endocrine glands, because they're all hooked up with all of our chakras, and that's not where you want to go. And it's going to bring in more problems with hormonal things as a result of this. So when I saw that, I'm going, oh no. So anyway, yeah, you have some good ideas, and we'll just keep working with it and see what we can do. Okay. So I said, water's giving us life. And I wanted to share, I asked Michael, he was one of my shamanic students for 5 years, and he's a Jungian analyst, and he is very often teaching shamanism over in Europe to medical doctors and people who have medical licenses over there, different types. And he had told me at one time, and this was back in 2011, he told me that he actually got to talk to Dr. Masaru Emoto, and he was just thrilled pink with him. He just loved the man, the energy around him. And his email to me was, he says, Dr. Emoto wrote me this formula for purifying water. He says, it is in Japanese, which is an ancient shamanic formula. But also the Japanese is an ancient, I don't know what you want to call it. It's an old language that they used to have in Japan, but it's pretty much gone, except for a sect of monks who still speaks it in Japan. But very few people do. But Dr. Emoto knew the language. And I thought, wow, that's cool. But anyway, he says he gave it to me to help the groundwater. He says, I've asked for a translation to be sent, as I forgot, but it is cryptic. And he says, like homeopathy, you fix the words on paper to the water source, or you put it on a bottle with some adhesive tape or something like that, and let it sit for maybe 5 minutes, and then drink it yourself, or pour it into the lake, the well, or the river, he says, after a day or so. And the invocation, he had a whole bunch of Japanese here, and I had to go out and on the internet to translate it, but it's called the Grand Prayer in ancient Japan. I'm sure I'm slaughtering that word, so apologies. I said, and even if you don't know Japanese, I said, just write these words on a piece of paper and set the glass or the bottle of water upon it for 24 hours. That's what Dr. Emoto would do. And he says, then you can pour it into the water source if you're choosing 24 hours later. That was what came back from Michael. And then I had to go back out on the internet, and I couldn't find anything except Japanese of today. I have a friend who lives over in Japan, and his wife is Japanese. He's Australian, by the way. And I told him, I don't know how to do this. This Uchu no Mugen no Chikara ga Kori Koti. And I'm tripping all over my tongue. And I said, I don't know what it is. And so he asked his wife, and she says, oh, that's the ancient Japanese. But she knew somebody who could translate it into English or Japanese as they speak it today. And what he was saying, what Dr. Emoto was saying to the water, was the infinite power of the universe condensed, and the true era of Daiwa took shape. As I understand it, Daiwa is like God, okay? But it depends upon what the religion is in Japanese, and I don't want to get into that because I'm not versed in it. But that is what he spoke into the bottle of water. And I guess it makes a really beautiful snowflake, a nice snowflake shape too. I can't use his stuff because they charge money for every photo, like $500 each. I can't do that. All I can do is tell you that if you want to try this, okay, the infinite power of the universe condensed and the true era of Daiwa took shape. This is when it was the creation of the universes. This was creation, okay? And that was an interesting thing that when Michael sent it to me, I thought, wow, this is great. And that was in 2011. So I'd already done the other types, the charging water, the paper remedies, and I had read Dr. Emoto's book. So I had the speaking to the water. And now I have this. And so I am saying this every morning. And what I've noticed is that I just have more energy and it really stays. And I don't have the ups and downs that people get. So you might, if you feel drawn to it, try it. If you don't, that's fine. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So there's Dr. Masaru Emoto's website. Please go there. He's got fantastic photos of everything he's done. He's done ice crystals and rivers and lakes from around the world. And also what music does for us. And words carry meaning, emotion, intent, and energy. And when you're working with water, what you want to do is bring your love from your heart into your intent when you work with living water. And it works. And if you want, go ahead and get his book, The Hidden Messages of Water. And it's wonderful. I've also at the back end here that maybe Eugenia can put these into the chat box for people where you can learn more. Now, I think some of you may know about Veda Austin. She's a very beautiful person, beautiful heart. And she's also beautiful looking, but she's as beautiful inside as she is outside. And she has really taken Dr. Emoto's first research and she's moved on and she's widening it out and it's all working. It's fantastic. Another one, if you really want to get into this, is Dr. Rupert Sheldrake. And he's got a lot, he did what we call morphic resonance. Basically, it's just working with energy, okay? You can't see it there either, but he also has done a lot of really good work with energy. I think that's it. Okay, here's two more. Now, this first guy, Dr. Polak, Professor Polak, Gerald H. Polak, I got his book when it first came out, and I trudged through 19 chapters. And then somebody told me, oh, you should read the last chapter first. It has brought everything into common sense for people like me who don't have a university or college education. And I can understand it, but he's a scientist and he has discovered the fourth phase of water. And it's an amazing thing this man is doing. He's with the University of Washington up in the state of Washington, in the United States. And it's called the fourth phase of water, but go to the last chapter and read it. That's all you need to do. And you'll get it. Unless you're a scientist or something and you're going to go hog wild with all of the wonderful research he's got in there. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know where I'm going with this. I haven't been trained up to understand this stuff. And the last one is Dr. Luc Montagnier. He is a Nobel Prize winner. He's done important information and videos on water that should not be missed. He has proven things that scientists do not want to believe, and they've basically shut him out. But the man is on the right track. And you should know these people because they're really at the forefront of what water can do for us. And again, we're working with energy, but we're harnessing it and we're coming from the heart. And that is the best thing of all.
It's interesting that Luc Montagnier was speaking out quite a lot about COVID, and then he also passed away during that time. So I don't know, I can't help but think a bit of conspiracy theory in there. But yeah, he was speaking up quite a lot of it. And of course, after winning the Nobel Prizes and doing all this amazing work, the second that he spoke out against COVID, he was labeled crazy. And then a while after that, he passed away.
Yeah, he'd done his work. These people are what I call mission souls. They're down here for a specific reason, to bring us something that's going to be good for us and good for the planet. And these three men and Veda are doing phenomenal things, and they're just opening up things that the scientists don't want to hear. Mm. They don't want their world rocked. They don't want their world changed. And excuse me, this is science. Science is supposed to be rocked all the time. Otherwise, why do you call it science? So it makes no sense to me. Anyway, energy-wise, this is what I wanted to share with you tonight. And this is the end of our lesson five. And you've got six handouts from me.
Amazing.
So I'll keep you busy. One of them is really important, is on the pendulum, how to use it. And I think there's 13 pages to that sucker. I spent a week working on that. But it'll be worth it, because once that's done, then people can use that to track what they need to do. And if they have any questions or anything, they know where to get a hold of me.
Amazing. Thank you.
So that's it.
Thank you so much, Eileen.
I think you're going to be able to make your thing, right?
Yeah, I will. That's great. Thank you so much for today, Eileen. I really appreciate it. And we'll get those resources up on eugeniekruger.com/Eileen. But your own website, walkingtheland.net, I think you're getting your IT guy to upload a lot of that content eventually on your site as well. All these things take time, right? But we'll get it all up there. And Eileen's YouTube channel as well. So if you just type in Eileen Nauman, N-A-U-M-A-N, it'll come up. But you can also, it's youtube.com/EileenNauman2329. So you can always just type that in. But if you just type your name up, your channel is one of the first ones that do come up there. And she's got her gem information there. And all of the podcasts that we've done, the videos will be up there as well. So between the two places, we just want to make sure that it's easy enough for people to find things, because I'm getting my hubby to upload things and you're getting your IT guy to upload things. So between the two of us, this information is getting out there and we're just making it readily available. And I actually even really love the collaboration, that it's not like, ooh, this is my information, or no, it's only there. Like, I actually love this Age of Aquarius energy. I had a podcast episode last night with four other homeopaths, female homeopaths, and just this collaboration of, yeah, this is here for all of us to share and enjoy and use. It's just really lovely. I'm really enjoying it. None of that competitiveness of this is all mine.
There doesn't need to be. The Aquarian energy insists that we're a village of one and everybody's got skill sets. Let's use them. Let's learn from one another. It's a win.
I love the acknowledgement of as well. I just have to say alongside that, it's not like all away. It's like this comes from this person, and you always acknowledge Oshana and all these people whose work, their work came after yours, but you still acknowledge the work that they do as well. Yeah, I think that's really beautiful too.
It's also, if you want to look at it, it's like a family miasm, only it is. It's something that's very positive that is coming down the line. And Native Americans have always done that. You always honor your teachers, because they gave you things that you wouldn't even think about or know how to help, or help yourself, your family, whatever. And that's the way they do it. But that's how they honor that person. And she sure needs to be honored, because she was doing stuff with water in the 1970s out of Berkeley. And look what they're doing now. But she was a real forerunner. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I always like giving credit where credit's due. We stand on each other's shoulders.
We do. And Eileen, I just want to thank you for the commitment that you've had all these, so many weeks. We've got so many episodes to get out there now. And just thank you with all my heart. I really appreciate you sharing this information with us.
I really appreciate that you're helping me do this, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. It's not going to help.
It already is. It already is. We're already getting the emails of people saying that it's made such a difference to them, and they're really enjoying it. So that's really great.
Good. That's the key. And then they can go ahead and pass it on to their kids, take care of their animals, whatever, their trees, their plants. It's like water ripples. It just keeps going out, and it's a circle. Here's the circle. Here's the sun. Here's what we would call the medicine wheel. Mm-hmm. And that's a circle too. So it all works. And we just need to get in there and let them know what we have, and also tell them what we don't know. I love Dr. Pollack, but boy, going through those first 17 chapters, it was like, I am lost. And I kept going back to the internet to try and figure out, what does this word mean? How does it react? And it's just lost. But chapter 18, it is the best chapter in the world. Water has four phases. Why wouldn't it? It's north, south, east, and west. Everything is fours. If you're going to physically manifest it, it's the four.
Very funny that you say that. Very funny. Because before this recording that I did with Danette Sarita, Janie, and Sarah Valentini yesterday, So half an hour before the recording, I checked my Instagram and I had 4,444 followers. And then 15 minutes later, I went to go sit down to get ready for our recording at 5 o'clock, and it was 4:44 on my computer. And I'm born on the 4th of the 4th. So I've always liked the number 4, but I know that in Chinese, it's like the number of death. So now I feel better about the number 4. It's the 4th.
Oh, yeah. No, it is circle. It's the hoop of light.
Interesting. Cool. I feel better about it. I always felt bad that 4 is lucky number. It was never really brought me luck, but I was born on the 4th of the 4th. But this is Chinese number of death. So I've always thought, I don't know, that's probably a bad lucky number to have.
No, it's not. Anybody that has a 4 energy. Now, I'm pretty good in numerology. I'm dangerous in numerology. I know just enough. I'm a 22-4. I'm a master number, because 2 + 2 = 4. And you take a complex number and you make it a single number, all right, in numerology. And the number 4 are the people that put stuff on the ground and make it work. And look what you're doing. Oh. I mean, you're tapping into people around the world, and you have a lot of people who love how you see the world, because they're seeing it the same way. And that's amazing to me. I'm doing YouTube because I want to leave things behind after I pass over. At least it'll be here and it'll be available, and the right people will get to it. Anyway,
have a nice Eileen.
Day. Have fun with your children today.
Oh, thank you.
Be great. So,
love you lots. Bye.
Bye-bye.